You're listening to The Exchange. I'm Mary Hartnett. Last week, Siouxland Public Media began a new project called Going Viral, Lessons Learned During the Pandemic. We're talking with several families about how they're handling the evolving situation at schools in Siouxland. Some schools are beginning the year in a hybrid form, others are going all virtual, and some, like Woodbury Central Schools in Mauville, are going back to class full-time. Donnie and Stacy Rieblitz are very involved in the school district. Stacy is a paraprofessional in the elementary school, and Donnie is on the school board. They have two children in the school system. One of them, having been in school for less than a week, has already been exposed to COVID-19 and is quarantining at home.
I keep hearing different numbers because, you know, all the moms are texting each other now. We're all, and so one kid's already symptomatic. My friend's daughter is showing symptoms today. And yeah, we are already one child quarantined. But because I'm an essential worker, I will be back to work on Monday.
Well, how do you handle that at your house then with your one of your children quarantined?
So I have a fifth grader, Sadie, and she's allowed to be at school because she's, like, they called it a third tier exposure. Jackson, our high schooler, he is a second tier exposure. So he's, you know, he's 14. So on a regular day, I would have to take leave, but Donnie works from home. So he's going to have to take some time in the morning. Block out his schedule just to get Jackson through his homework. And then, we're kind of sorting it out right now. You know, it was a long week at school. And a lot of the return to learn stuff that was put forth isn't being followed. Quite an interesting 4 days.
Well, so Donnie, then your week is going to be different then, right?
It is definitely going to be different. On a positive note, I'll have Jackson with me during the day. So, I won't be home alone working from home. But, you know, the school isn't quite prepared enough for like a hybrid or a virtual model quite yet. There's still technology equipment that they're looking to bring in so teachers can do like Zoom meetings and Google Meet meetings and that sort of thing from the classroom. And I'm in a very fortunate situation, but I'm planning to take a few hours every day off just so I can, you know, take ninth grade all over again and help him through the next 2 weeks, going under the assumption that he's not going to get a lot of, you know, quote unquote, like face-to-face instruction.
Stacy, what do you teach and what grade?
I am a para, so I'm a para professional, and I work in the elementary. So I'm a right now I float between a resource room and a third grade classroom.
You see a lot of kids every day, right?
We see a lot of kids. I'm a one-on-one for two students, but I'm also in the classroom with so this year I happen to be, and I've been with this group actually the last few years, it's a very small class. We have 13 kids in third grade in one of the third grade classrooms. And so I'm really fortunate. The teacher that I work for is able to socially distance those desks. And she is really great about, we wear a mask when we're not in our seats and she wears a mask, and so I'm very comfortable in that particular room, yes. But there are lots and lots of kids.
I guess, you know, finally, are you feeling safe at school, like you're not going to get sick?
No, I don't feel safe. No. No, I mean, I wear my mask from the time I walk in the building. The only time I take it off is if I go back to our resource room where it's just two other adults and myself, and we have sectioned off the room, so like I have a little corner so I can take off my mask, get a drink really quick, and then throw it back on. I feel like our administration and our janitorial staff have done so much. They've really it was unprecedented, and that part of our staff is they're amazing. They are working really hard. We've got all sorts of supplies for us to clean the rooms, and it's good. My fear is staff members that don't wear masks because we don't have a mandate at our school.
Really? So do people, there are people there that just don't wear masks?
Correct. That's correct. It's, I've never seen any, I didn't see that coming. I guess I just expected that we all wanted to be back to work, so we would all do what we had to do to be, keep stay in the building, but that's not true. It's very frustrating.
That was Donnie and Stacy Rieblitz, who have two children in the Woodbury Central Schools, which started the fall semester in person without a mask mandate. And now we hear from the Barron's family of Sioux City.
Hi, my name is Donna Barron. My husband, Todd Barron's, is the director of the Sioux City Art Center. I am the PTA president of Perry Creek Elementary, and we have a fifth grader at Perry Creek Elementary here. So we started school this past week, and it was exciting and nerve-wracking and just felt so different than what our routine has been, which has been very relaxed. All of a sudden, we kind of go back to being a little more hectic, even if it's not school every day. We actually had to get up early and out the door by 8:30, or before 8:30, actually. But it was good. We had a good week. My son had a good week in school. He was so excited to be back. And, you know, his teacher really made them feel welcome and, you know, went over the new classroom rules, and they got to know each other in the last 2 days that he was there. So we're looking forward to this week again to continue and maybe start a little bit more learning.
So Tate, you were finally back in the classroom after many months. How was the first week of school?
Amazing.
What was amazing about it?
I have a great teacher. Well, I mean, I would have a great teacher, whoever I had, because all the teachers are very nice. Everyone was nice. It just kind of sucked a little bit that we had to wear masks, but it was still fun.
Are you concerned at all about some cases starting to pop up within the school, or do you feel like they're doing quite a bit to keep the kids safe?
It felt like they were doing everything they possibly can. I have to say I'm concerned, not necessarily about the school, but in general, because even we've had some distant rumblings of contacts, or, you know, it's starting to creep closer and closer, as opposed to maybe early June, when we had a spike of cases, we didn't feel the impact quite as much. All of a sudden, we're seeing friends who, you know, have said that they know they've been in contact with somebody. We've started soccer this week. We got the text that there has been contact within one of our soccer teams. And so it's all of a sudden starting to become a little bit more real. So that concerns me. The biggest concern I have is not wanting to take it into the school ourselves. Like, if we don't know or we're asymptomatic, I don't want to bring it into the school and get somebody sick who would have a lot more problems than we have, or get a lot more sick than we do. So that makes me very nervous right now. So we're just trying to be as safe as we can. I feel like the schools are doing a pretty decent job with the distancing and the hybrid plan. I know that the first day probably was for each section, the A through M's and the N through Z's. It was probably a little hectic just trying to get the new normals or the new procedures in place. But hopefully we come out successful. And I liked the transparency of the school district with their report on Friday. So I know I saw that come out on Friday. And I like that they're trying to be proactive about their communication so they can regularly communicate what's going on. That always helps.
Yeah, they said that they're going to do the weekly report every Friday to give an update. They're going to contact anyone who needs to know that there was someone who tested positive, but they will not release specific schools, is what they told us anyway in a news release.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't, so tough. Privacy, I don't know that anybody is in hysteria at this moment. Probably we've all come to expect these kind of things, but just trying to keep everything But I don't know. It's so tough. It's so tough. I don't know that I love that you don't know. The schools aren't known, but I understand the privacy of the individuals. I would say as long as they're contacting the people that were in direct contact with those individuals, I don't know that you can keep that kind of thing under wraps. People talk. So I think feel like eventually you'll know the schools, or maybe not the exact individuals, but definitely the places that, you know, contact is happening or cases are popping up. I feel like that's impossible to keep quiet.
We kind of live in a big small town, don't we?
We do. And it's anywhere. I think people just talk. And when you get that note, people share it. In this day and age, everything is so easily spread out there with social media. And, you know, people will just share the text, the email, the note that they get immediately. So from their vantage point, I can see the privacy issue. They have to know that it's going to come out no matter what. So, you know, maybe that's or the tightrope that they're trying to walk, which is tough.
That's Donna Behrens of Sioux City and her fifth grade son, Tate. Donna's husband, Todd Behrens, is the director of the Sioux City Arts Center. Later in the show, you'll hear how the Arts Center is going virtual for this year's Art Splash Community Festival, now in its 26th year. You're listening to The Exchange on Siouxland Public Media. I'm Mary Hartnett. Pam Venturi of Sioux City is a single mother of five children between the ages of 9 and 15. Her youngest battles lupus and stays at home for school. Her other children attend Catholic school in Sioux City. She set up a hidden recording with her five children to talk about their experiences the first week of school. You're going to hear an edited and sometimes chaotic version of their conversation over Chinese food that also veers into the social issues of today.
All right, guys. So, how was your first week of school?
Boring.
Really? Nico, how was your first day of school? The first week?
Good.
Because?
I had Mrs. Hansen as a teacher and got to see some friends.
Does anyone complain about wearing masks?
No.
No?
Okay. I think it's kind of good because, like, it kind of hides your breath.
True. Okay. Paola, how was your first week of school?
Boring.
Why?
It's boring.
It's boring?
Mom, do you understand that school is boring?
It's just boring because you're home?
No, I have to sit there and do nothing. None of my friends are in there either.
Yeah. Kateri, how was your first week of school?
I don't like school.
Why not?
It makes me tired.
It makes you tired? Because you're so used to being around in the summertime.
No.
Well, you're in a new building, though. Anthony and Bernadette, how is school?
Awful. Regular.
Why?
Well, first of all, I have no friends in my lunch. I don't like that out how we do lunch because it's annoying. And
well,
second
you
of
don't
all,
always
I have no friends
do...
in my home room.
Yeah, but you don't always do lunch at the same spot,
well,
right?
Yes, we do. You have to do it in the classroom.
Always?
Because we can't go in the commons. So if I were able to go to the commons, I could sit with my friends, but I can't.
Why are they allowed to go to the commons?
No, it's
not. Why are they allowed
to
hear
that? But my teacher doesn't.
My teacher doesn't do that either.
Paola eats lunch alone every day. Here. Kateri, do you get to eat outside?
That's why we have the towel.
That's why you have the towel. Oh, okay.
I have no classes there.
I thought you had the towel because you needed to take a nap.
No,
okay. Not anymore.
No, our class can only go outside. Wait,
does anyone know someone who's got COVID-19 or?
I'm me.
No one does?
Color guard.
Somebody in color guard.
Or the light team or whatever. That's why they're all gone.
Because here's the thing. Reality right now in Iowa City and Ames, they are like the third worst in the whole world in terms of how fast COVID is happening. So what if that comes here? Then what?
No more
then what?
Who?
And then you'll be stuck here again. Besides the COVID stuff, is there anything else that is bugging you in the world today?
I know.
What in the world?
School. Friends won't talk to me.
The BLM movement?
No, it's just powered by liberals to fund liberals.
Really? That's what you think, even though you're a person of color. Do you know what the reality is, Nico? Do you know why you think that it's doing nothing?
Because you're white.
Because you only get to see what the media allows you to see. just like you only get to learn about what the media is projecting out to the public. That's it. You don't get to see the rest, so you don't get to see all the good stuff that comes out of it. Because if we didn't do things like this, there would never be any change in America.
I like the good things and I support the good things, but the rioting and looting is just...
No, yeah, that's wrong. That's wrong. I agree.
That's Pam Venturi and her five children, twins Antonia and Bernadette, who are 15, Nico, age 14, 11-year-old Paula, who learns virtually at home because of health concerns, and 9-year-old Kateri. You're listening to The Exchange on Siouxland Public Media. I'm Mary Hartnett. A local advocate launched an online petition calling for mandatory face coverings and masks for the state of Iowa. Cindy Waite, who works with the Kind World Foundation, the Waite Institute for Violence Prevention, among other charities, talked with Siouxland Public Media about her push for wearing masks.
Many of us have read the science. The consensus is that people have a bit of a misunderstanding about what masks do and what they don't. And again, I'm not a medical professional, so, you know, I'm not going to speak for them, and I'm talk about what I've read, but what I was told by my doctor is that people's masks protect each other. And so when you hear, okay, you can wear a mask and that's okay that you do, but it's okay that I don't, they are forgetting that their mask is protecting everyone else. So if you're and what my doctor told me, and again, he works with an epidemiologist, and I've also talked to them, and I've also talked to a friend in infectious diseases at Cedars-Sinai, and they don't get partisan about it because they're into the science, and it's wear the mask. That's the only way. If we've got to have mask mandates, or we're going to see more and more and more deaths, and you know, if the CDC, the World Health Organization, the Surgeon General, the epidemiologist, you know, hundreds of Iowa doctors, I'll just stick to Iowa here, but hundreds of Iowa doctors signed a letter asking our governor to mandate masks. So I trust that they know the science and they know what they're talking about. And one of the things they said is, you know, put a mask on and then try to blow a candle out. And that shows you that, in other words, these droplets that you're, you know, spewing out of your mouth, whether you're talking, breathing, whatever, create those aerosols or whatever that can cause the virus. The concern is so many other states have mandated it. And I really feel that it's important for the state to mandate it. Cities have tried to, but unfortunately, according to the governor, that is illegal for them to do because we don't have what's called home rule in Iowa. So it's all up to the state, and that makes it difficult then for communities who see the need to mandate masks. I talked to a person who drove from California to Iowa. And what she told me was all along the way was very, very good with mask wearing. And the minute she got to South Dakota and then Iowa, it fell off dramatically. So that was her concern.
We just did a trip to the Black Hills. We were in a remote area in the hills in a cabin without water even. But we did drive through Deadwood because I finally said we have to stop somewhere so we can shower. And we drove through the main street of Deadwood, and I would say it was probably about, I'm not an expert on counting people very quickly, but I would say maybe 10 to 15% of people were wearing masks. That was it.
Right.
And so we chose to, you know what, we're just going to go somewhere else instead. But then
exactly.
I must say Iowa did have a few more masks, though. I don't know, where did this become so political? It seems people who support one side, you know, there are foreign masks, people on the other side don't.
What happened from the White House is very mixed messages. And I think that got confusing. The president was not wearing masks. the other party was wearing masks. So it became, which shouldn't be a partisan issue at all, whether you're Republican or Democrat, whatever you are, the virus does not care. The virus is out there. So I think a national mandate, and it needed to happen a long time ago, and it didn't. So it was left up to the states, and many of the states decided to, and many of the states said, no, we're not going to do that. So it's kind of a patchwork quilt of a country. Instead of, here's the national, you know, program, this is what we're going to do, we're in an emergency. You know, I think that's a real concern. So you have people who read things that say masks don't work and they make you sicker or you're more likely to catch the virus. And so there's a lot of science out there that says, yes, masks work. And there's a lot of pushback on that, in that you're taking away my freedom. That's just real concerning. And again, I know people of both parties that wear masks and are great. So I'm not trying to blame any particular person, but I think there's been a real lapse in leadership.
Now, you actually have an online initiative. You have a petition drive that's underway to urge people to wear masks.
I think when I kept seeing states mandating it, I was like, God, you know, we need to do that. And so I didn't write the petition. It was written by an RN that is a friend of the family. So he wrote it from a, you know, healthcare provider perspective. And he talked about even the fact that it could affect our economy. You know, if too many people get sick or businesses have to close down or this and that, it's actually detrimental to our economy. So, you know, we want to keep our economy going, and kind of silent killer is doing the social distancing, wearing the masks, and doing the right thing. And it's not just government, it's individuals who make the decision to not wear one, or make the decision to go into the crowded bar or whatever it is, and it's not working. The United States cases are off the charts. We've seen other countries who have done something nationally and done a good job. Again, there's some states that are doing good jobs. There are people who are doing great things, but I think we've had a real lapse in leadership.
And there's also a Facebook group called Sulan Wears Masks.
I can't remember who started that, so I can't speak for who started it. I ended up joining it. But Sulan Wears Masks gives a lot of information that's really helpful about how do we protect ourselves here in Sulan. You know, we don't have a mask mandate. Our community is not allowed to do one, much to the frustration probably of our local leaders. So how do we protect ourselves? So they talk about, okay, I was in such and such a place and there were no masks on customers or staff, and they were kind of stunned. And then on the flip side of that, they'll say, hey, went to this one store, this one place that they were 100% wearing masks and the customers were, and we really felt safe there. So it's a really good resource. And again, it's not about to get any business or, you know, go against anyone. It's just more of a, here's kind of a health and safety report on what we're seeing as Siouxlanders going in this store or that store. So if people kind of want to check in, and, you know, if they see a place that's doing great with masks, they post that. So it's not all negative. It's some of it's very, very positive, and thanking, you know, certain businesses for keeping people safe.
Cindy Waite's petition on change.org has gathered more than 3,000 signatures. You can find a link to the petition and a longer interview with Waite on our website. Go to kwit.org. Support for The Exchange comes from Gregory Giles, investment advisor representative with Legacy Financial, LLC in Sioux City, serving the financial planning and investment needs of clients since 2004. Information about Legacy Financial and Greg Giles is available at legacyfinancialllc.com. Financial planning and advisory services offered through RDA Financial Network. You're listening to The Exchange on Siouxland Public Media. I'm Mary Hartnett. The COVID-19 pandemic has forced the cancellation of so many events this summer, including Art Splash, originally scheduled for this weekend. We talked with the Art Center's Development Associate, Summer Ahman, about the evolution of this Labor Day weekend event. Here's part of an interview with Siouxland Public Media's Sheila Brummer.
We were very disappointed to have to make the decision to cancel, but we did feel it was the best decision we could make. So back in July, we announced that we could not hold the art festival as planned due to the pandemic. So instead of that, and rather than attempting to recreate the festival online, we decided to still use an online medium, but frame it more as a celebration of Art Splash. We'd like to really be reflective this coming week as we look back on the 26 years Art Splash has taken place and celebrate the things that we love about it. You'll get to hear a lot from different people that you'll recognize in the community, some artists that people will recognize. We have some fun things planned for people at home to do too. So yeah, we're excited to bring kind of just this celebration where we can highlight some of these special things.
So it still sounds like it's going to be interactive, but just in a different kind of medium.
So we do want to keep it as interactive as possible, and we'll have these posts to the Art Center's Facebook page. And then we also have a special website specifically for this called artsplashonline.com. And we will be putting the posts in both places. And we hope that specifically on Facebook, we really hope to get some engagement and share memories. And hopefully this will, you know, spark some things that people recall from the past and would like to share about. We have a fun scavenger hunt coming up, some different art lessons, and you'll get to, like I mentioned earlier, see some of the artists and hear from them. You can go to them virtually and look at their works that they produce and sell. And yeah, so it will be interactive just in a different way.
And that's good because I know there are so many different events at Art Splash that sometimes you forget, of course, it's supposed to be about the artwork. But that's an okay thing.
Exactly. Yeah, we try to do a lot of different fun things to engage the community with, you know, bringing in other nonprofits so they can experience that and obviously kids' activities. But the focus really we do want to keep as much as possible on the artists. So we hope to showcase that this week as well.
I know it's so hard because it's kind of like the highlight of the summer. You know, Saturday in the Park and Art Splash, I think, are the two premier activities for people to do in Siouxland.
It is a sad thing. I started with Art Center last February in 2019. So my first Art Splash on staff was last year. And so I know that the whole staff is disappointed. I know many community members are as well. I've heard from the artists and they're, of course, bummed. And, you know, most are very understanding of what's going on, of course, because this is a international thing that's happening. But there is, of course, disappointment. But to have this Labor Day weekend, it's kind of the culmination of summer at the end. You know, back to school is happening and Art Splash is supposed to happen. But we will bring what we can and hopefully find a way to still celebrate. It will. I found it to be a little bit bittersweet, even in preparing some of the content, that it's really fun to look back at these old, really old pictures, some of them, and think even back to last year, all the work that went in. It, you know, sweet to remember, but just still sad to not be able to do it in person.
Oh, I know. My daughter, since we moved back to Sioux City, you know, my daughter, she grew up here, basically. She was a baby when we moved here. So there hasn't been an Art Splash where we missed, you know, the activities. But of course, you know, I think people understand because it is a health threat to have large groups of people together.
Right. Yep. And we had gotten some guidance from the city and we had gone through that process. Really, for months, we were not sure. And then really, as we really had to make a decision at some point, it was just, we felt the wisest thing for us to do. It's a weird thing to not have it happen for sure. And like you mentioned, Saturday in the Park too, it's a hard summer for people. It's a hard year, obviously, in so many ways, but yeah, we're sad to not see it happen. I want to mention that, you know, Art Splash, we work on this.
That's Summer Ahman with the Sioux City Arts Center talking about Art Splash Online. You can find out more on Facebook and on the website artsplashonline.com. In the meantime, here's a look back at the sights and sounds of last year's Art Splash at Sioux City's Riverside Park with Siouxland Public Media News.
My name is Beth Harms, and I am from Sioux City. I think Art Splash is one of the fun times that we have in Sioux City. It gives us an opportunity to see a wide selection of art. The music's always fun. And it's good to see people from different parts of the country coming in with their expressions of self shown through their art.
My name is Chris Jensen, and I'm from Sioux City. And I think Art Splash is like Saturday in the Park and a couple other events around Sioux City. Very special, unique, and look forward to it every year.
My favorite thing about Art Splash is just all the people that come out to support the arts in our community. I think this is a wonderful event where you see people actually creating the art. You get to talk to the artists. You get to see some of the artists creating right in their own booths, and it's wonderful. Donna Behrens, and I live in Sioux City, Iowa.
My name is Jacob Van Wyk. I am from Ireton near Sioux Center, where I've taught at Dort University for 25 years. And I'm a potter. I do a lot of things, but I bring pots to the show here.
So you're going to do the smaller cup. Oh, you're still deciding. I'm still selling you on other products.
She's got one over there. She's already picked out.
And this is just a fantastic venue. I love the park. There are a lot of artists here, so people come out mostly for the art. There are a lot of extra things, but that's what I enjoy about this show, because its emphasis is on the art.
My name is Suzanne Brummer, and I'm from Denison, Iowa. It's my first time. The weather's nice. A lot of friendly, nice people, of course. About anything you'd want.
My name is Katie. I am 10 years old. I'm from Sioux City, Iowa. And I like looking at the art, and I also like the activities that the kids can do, too. I am Lily. I am 10 years old, and I'm from Sioux City, Iowa. And I really like magnets in one of the booths because I think they're handcrafted, and I really like the activities here.
I'm Andrea Porter. I'm the naturalist for Monona County Conservation down in Ottawa, Iowa. And I'm part of Sierra Club, and today we're at Art Splash talking about flora and fauna of the prairie. I have some live animals. I have a painted turtle. Her name's Frankie. And then I have a fox snake that is 3 feet long.
I'm Lynn Decker. And what I think about Art Splash, I'm from South Sioux City. We have been coming every year since they started. We absolutely love this. It's a highlight of our summer, actually. We love to go ahead and see all the artists that come through and buy some of their things. But we especially come for the grandchildren so that they can play.
Can I get your name?
Allie.
And how old are you?
9.
And where are you from?
Sioux City. I like Art Splash.
And what do you like about Art Splash?
Rock climbing.
And what other things do you like about Art Splash?
Art.
Do you have a special piece of art that you've liked?
Frisbee.
Oh, the spinning frisbees. Those are nice, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have quite a few of those at home?
Yeah.
How old were you when you first came to Art Splash, do you think?
Since I was in a stroller.
Robert Rivers, I'm from Naples, Florida. Second year at Art Splash. I'm in the business of selling barbecues, so hey, we look for crowds.
Do you plan to come back next year?
I do plan to come back next year and take first. I took third, second. So next year will be first.
You won second place for food at Art Splash.
Yes. Yep. So, hey, keep trying.
Valerie, I live in Sioux City in the Morningside area. I'd like to come here to bring my kids for the activities that they have for them. Brought Jocelyn, Dante, Griffin, and my niece Amaya. So far they've made some bumblebees out of aluminum cans. They painted on the car over here.
Hi, my name is Griffin, and I think Art Splash is the best place I've ever been to.
My name is Luke Colley. I'm the lead singer of The Ruralist, and we played today. I think Art Splash is great. It's a wonderful opportunity for a community to celebrate the art that's happening in the community, and it's super kid-friendly, and it's a beautiful day, and what's not for love?
You're listening to The Exchange. I'm Mary Hartnett. This past weekend, a Sioux City woman hit the runway at Omaha Fashion Week with other models 20 to 30 years her junior or even more. Before the big show, Erica Hansen shared her modeling journey with her friend, Siouxland Public Media's Sheila Brummer. She explored the changes in society and fashion that allow her to break barriers.
Most of the models are in their teens, mid-teens, maybe up to like 28, 29 years old. So 46 is definitely on the more mature side of the models that you'll see at Omaha Fashion Week, but it's part of the reason I'm so proud to be a part of that event.
And you actually do have kind of a history when it comes to modeling.
I do. I started when I was 17, 18 years old. At 18, I signed my first contract with Elite Models, which is an international agency, a very well-known, well-recognized agency, but really never focused on it. They wanted me to move to LA and Miami and even go to Russia for a summer. And it just wasn't something I was super interested in at the time. So I ended up just going to college and doing the typical kind of teenage, early adult things and really didn't think much more about it until over the past year when I started talking with Develop, which is a modeling agency in Omaha, and then signed a contract with Develop in March.
And of course, the pandemic hits and it's hard to actually get the exposure or to do the jobs.
Yes.
And even with Omaha Fashion Week, they had to modify how they picked the models to hit the runway.
Yes, they did. Typically, it will be an in-person audition. And this year, because of the pandemic, they did everything electronically. So we all had to submit a video and some photos and different size, pieces of information so that the designers could figure out sizes and shapes and start making the collections from those pieces of information that we submitted electronically. But everybody did everything electronically. The designers went through and chose the models they wanted to represent their collection. And here we are.
And what kind of collection will you be modeling?
I'm modeling for a designer out of Kansas City. Her name is Anna Holt, and she's doing a flamenco-inspired collection. So everything is bright and colorful, lots of ruffles. She really wanted to focus on something that was upbeat in nature, just because we're all dealing with so many sorts of down sorts of feelings and emotions right now. So she really wanted to keep it upbeat and happy and fresh. So it's a really fun collection. Fortunately for me, she was named to the top five designers of the Fashion Week lineup. And so I'll be walking both in the Friday night show and then also in the Saturday night finale.
What goes through your mind when you're trying to do a runway show? Do you get nervous, or you've done enough of them that you don't anymore?
You know, I haven't done a runway show in a really long time. And so I think there will be a lot of nerves, especially because of my age. You know, everybody that I'm with is much younger, and it is easy, you know, to let those kinds of feelings of insecurity creep in. But the thing is everyone has those feelings of insecurity. That's the part that I kind of know a little bit better now that I'm older and wiser. You know, everybody has things that they're insecure about. And so you really just have to get out there and do something that you love and not worry about what other people might think. The fashion industry is becoming so inclusive in terms of age. You know, it really does embrace now models, you know, in the 40s and the 50s and even the 60s. A lot of big name designers had models in their 50s that were walking runways in 2019. So it is changing, and that's a good thing.
And you actually have written about that before, about how things have changed and about body image and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I actually have been doing some segments with Siouxland Magazine for the course of the last several months. And the one that's coming out in September is about not putting restrictions on yourself in terms of what you wear just based on your age. Now, I think that those old parameters that society had put on women of a certain age about what they should or shouldn't do or should or shouldn't wear have really diminished over the years. And it really is about expressing your personality and being an individual and not worrying about whether I should be wearing this because I'm 52 years old. It doesn't matter anymore. And, you know, that's something I think it's really important for women to recognize and just for society as a whole to start to change their perceptions and their beliefs about women as they age.
I think women are really tough on other women, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that's maybe lessening, but it is part of what's so great about the fashion industry embracing women of all ages, because it does show women in a different light, and it does give sort of inspiration to other women to think, maybe I don't have to be so concerned about what other people think or about what I'm wearing, or I can only wear so many outfits and this is too young for me. It does sort of open their eyes up to a new way of thinking, and I think that's great for women no matter your age.
That's Erica Hansen of Sioux City, who took part in Omaha Fashion Week this past weekend. Sheila was able to briefly attend with a mask and social distancing. She says Erica rocked the runway. On Sunday night, it will be the end of an era for longtime Siouxland public media announcer Isaac Quiñones, also known as DJ Tapatio. He's been the longtime host of the program South of the Border. For 16 years, Isaac has been spending Sunday nights with listeners and sharing their requests with a high-energy and entertaining program. He moved to Sioux City in the 1990s and studied mass communications at Briarcliff. He plans to move back to his home of Guadalajara, Mexico. He says leaving is bittersweet because he enjoys making a difference in the community.
That's one of my favorite parts of what I do, just to be kind of like the bridge, you know, in people's lives, you know, connecting them through music or through different stuff that we do in the community. So, I mean, that's the part that I love about radio, just to be able to connect to people that are different places, maybe different cities or even different countries, and just connect them through music, through dedications. I think that's the part that I love the most.
Public Media presenta desde la ciudad de Sioux City del estado de Iowa, con más de 10 años de tradición en la radio de Siouxland. Llega con ustedes de Guadalajara, Jalisco, México. Isaac Quiñones, el tapatío. Isaac Quiñones, el tapatío. El show de Isaac Quiñones, el tapatío, en vivo.
Me dicen el tapatío, porque yo me crié en Jalisco, entre rosas y el rocío, besando de pico en pico. Me dicen
presentando lo mejor en música latina, lo más nuevo, las retro. Complaciéndote en las redes sociales y en cabina. ¡Súbele! ¡Súbele! ¡Súbele!
Listen for Isaac's final South of the Border show tonight from 8 p.m. to midnight on Siouxland Public Media. And join us later on today. We'll have details from Woodbury County Auditor Patrick Gill's press conference. He has been pushed to resign by former state senator Rick Bertrand of Sioux City. Also, updates on what's going on with COVID-19 in Iowa. Thanks to Sheila Brummer and Steve Smith. I'm Mary Hartnett. We'll see you next week.